Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're taking a look at something called Building the 10%.
Sounds intriguing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
We'll be taking a look at excerpts from a document literally titled Building Plus the 10%. And it really takes a fascinating look at individual action and how that can maybe spark some widespread change.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when it comes to the realm of finance and economics.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So this document kind of sets the stage by highlighting this really cool concept.
Okay.
Of how when individual self-interest is kind of properly channeled.
Okay.
It can actually be the key to some really positive change. Not just for the individual, but for everybody.
Right. And that's not a new idea, right?
No, not at all.
I mean, that's basically
yeah.
Adam Smith's Invisible Hand.
Exactly.
Right.
And they actually kick things off with a quote from Adam Smith.
Oh, perfect.
From Wealth of Nations.
Yeah.
I won't bore you with the whole quote.
Oh, okay.
But it's that idea that...
I think most people have heard it.
Yeah, you've probably heard it by now.
Yeah.
But that individuals pursuing their own advantage can actually lead to benefiting society as a whole.
Right.
But the source takes this idea a step further.
Okay.
And applies it to a very specific program called the IBC Practitioner Program.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you heard of this?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for those who maybe haven't encountered this before, can you give us a little bit of background?
Sure. So the IBC Practitioner Program is basically designed to equip financial professionals.
Right.
To help people become more financially independent.
Okay.
And it's really based on the idea that empowering individuals will then ripple outwards to create a more prosperous society as a whole.
So it's kind of like a chain reaction, starting with individual financial well-being.
That's the idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's a beautiful idea.
Yeah. But then they throw a little bit of a curveball.
Oh.
They point out that there is a major roadblock to actually achieving this vision, and that is socialism. Yeah. So the document, it doesn't mince words.
Right.
It straight up calls socialism society's main problem.
Mm.
And it argues that by giving the government so much control, it stifles individual liberty.
Right.
And economic freedom because they have so much control over resources and production.
They even quote Ludwig von Mises.
Oh, wow.
Famously called socialism an evil idea.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement.
Definitely.
But it definitely lays the groundwork
yeah.
for what their solution is to this problem, which yeah. is something they call building the 10%.
Okay. Building the 10%.
What is that?
So building the 10% is this idea that if we can convert just 10% of the American population,
okay.
roughly 30 million people,
okay.
into
yeah.
strong advocates for free markets and capitalism,
okay.
we can create a tipping point. That will shift the entire country's mindset.
30 million people.
It's a lot of people.
It sounds like a lot.
It is.
Yeah. So how are they even imagining reaching that many people?
Well, they back it up with research and historical examples
okay.
that suggest that 10% is really all you need to right. get an idea to spread.
Okay. So like a critical mass.
Exactly. Like a critical mass.
Interesting.
Think about those moments in history
yeah.
where like a small group of people
right.
have sparked massive change.
Yeah.
That's the idea here.
Okay. I see where they're going with that.
Yeah.
But even so convincing that many people.
Yeah.
That's got to be a tall order.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
And they acknowledge that.
Okay.
But they emphasize that education alone isn't enough.
Okay.
You need incentive.
Clear.
People need to actually see how these ideas will benefit them.
Right. Like, what's in it for me?
Exactly. Yeah. What's in it for me?
Okay. So how does that translate into action then?
So this is where financial professionals come in.
Okay.
Because they already have a vast network
yep.
and the knowledge to help people manage their finances.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a prime position to spread this message.
So they're kind of like the key players.
The key players in this movement.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But what are they actually teaching people?
So this is where we get to privatized banking and something called the infinite banking concept.
Okay.
Or IBC for short.
Thank you.
It might sound a bit unconventional.
Okay.
But the idea is to help people become their own bankers.
Become your own banker.
Yes.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What does that even look like?
Basically, you use a specific type of dividend-paying whole life insurance policy
okay.
as a financial tool.
I'm sure some people are raising eyebrows right now.
Probably. The idea is that it allows you to kind of break free
okay.
from reliance on traditional banks and government-controlled financial systems.
So you become more self-reliant.
More self-reliant.
In control of your own finances.
Exactly.
That's powerful.
It is.
Yeah, but 30 million people.
I know.
How
How are they realistically going to reach that many people?
So this is where the power of networks comes in.
Oh.
Okay.
So they point out that there are hundreds of thousands of financial professionals just in the US,
Okay.
and then they use this concept called Dunbar's number,
Dunbar's number.
which suggests that every single person has a network
Okay.
of at least 150 stable relationships.
Okay, so if each of these financial professionals just reaches out to their networks.
Right. And then if even a fraction of those people share it with like their five closest friends or family, we're talking millions and millions of people.
Okay, so it's kind of like that exponential growth thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, when you break it down like that, it actually does seem
Yeah.
a little bit more attainable.
A little more attainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we all know change doesn't happen overnight.
Of course not.
Right. And I'm sure they talk about that as well.
Yeah,
Like,
definitely.
what are the challenges? What are they
Yeah.
going to face?
For sure. They talk about how this is a long game.
Okay.
It's a gradual shift
Right.
in our thinking.
It's not going to happen overnight.
No, and one of the biggest things they point to is just how ingrained these socialist ideas are in our society. You know, it's not just about introducing new ideas.
Right.
It's about challenging this mindset that's been around for such a long time.
Yeah, that's a tough battle.
It is. They say it's everywhere, you know, in government policies,
Right.
education
Of
systems,
course, the media.
and media. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's become so normalized that we don't even question it.
Right. It's just how things are.
It's just how things are. Yeah.
So they're really talking about like a fundamental shift in how we even view like the role of government and individual responsibility.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
how do they propose we tackle something that's so deeply rooted?
Well, they say it starts with education and empowerment. It's about giving individuals the knowledge and the tools to actually make informed decisions about their own lives,
Right.
particularly when it comes to finances.
So it's about like giving people the power
Yes.
to break free from the system that they see as limiting.
Exactly. And they argue that once people start to experience the benefits
Okay.
of being financially independent and
Yeah.
self-reliant, they'll be much more likely to question the status quo
Okay.
and demand more freedom.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they also highlight specifically the financial services industry as kind of a key battleground in this whole fight against socialism.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, for one thing, it's massive.
Right.
It's one of the largest industries in our economy,
Yeah.
and it's heavily regulated by the government.
Okay.
So they see this as a prime example of how socialist ideas have kind of infiltrated
Okay.
and
A
distorted
very important sector.
a vital sector. Yeah.
So their goal is to help people kind of take back control of their finances, and in doing so, challenge the dominance of government in this area.
Exactly. And they see IBC
Okay.
as a tool that can help people do that.
Okay.
It allows people to create their own financial systems
Interesting.
that are less reliant on those traditional banks and government regulations.
But they also talk about how the IBC program
Yeah.
involves this careful selection and training of financial professionals.
Yes, very important.
Why is that so important to them?
Because these individuals need to be more than just salespeople.
Okay.
They need to be advocates
Okay.
for these principles.
Of free markets.
Yeah, free markets, individual liberty.
Okay.
They need to understand the philosophy
Yeah.
behind IBC and be able to articulate it effectively.
So it's not enough to just understand the nuts and bolts.
No.
You have to really buy into
Don't you
it.
have to believe it? Yeah.
Okay. So it's about finding people who are really passionate about these ideas, not just looking for a quick profit.
Right. They're the ones who are really going to make this work.
And they talk about how these professionals need to stay committed long term.
Yeah.
Why is that so crucial?
Because this is not a quick fix. This is a long-term project. It's about shifting mindsets, building a new paradigm.
So you need people who are going to stick with it.
Yeah, people who are dedicated to the cause.
Yeah, dedicated to seeing this whole thing through.
Exactly.
It's about challenging the conventional wisdom and standing up for what you believe in,
Even when it's hard.
even when it's hard. And
Absolutely.
they back up their claims with some statistics.
Yeah.
They estimate that there are at least 750,000 financial professionals in the U.S.
Right. And that's probably a low estimate.
Probably.
Yeah.
And they use that Dunbar's number again to kind of show the reach.
The potential.
Yeah, the potential.
Yeah.
If even a small percentage of those professionals embrace these ideas
Right.
and share it with their network,
Huge impact.
huge impact.
Yeah.
So the sheer size of the financial services industry is almost like an amplifier
exactly.
for this movement.
Yeah, they can leverage that existing infrastructure.
Okay.
Spread the message.
But even with all of that reach,
yeah.
this goal of building the 10%, it still seems really ambitious.
It is.
Are they realistic?
I think so.
About the challenges?
Yeah, they acknowledge that it's not going to be easy.
Okay.
They talk about the deep roots of socialist ideas.
Right.
The resistance they'll probably face.
Right. People who benefit from the current system.
Exactly. And yeah. just the amount of work it's going to take.
To change minds.
To change minds, yeah.
Yeah, so they're not sugarcoating the difficulties.
Nope, they're not.
Okay.
But they also have this, like, unwavering belief
okay.
in individual action.
Okay.
And its ability to create change.
They see it as a battle worth fighting.
Absolutely. A vision worth striving for.
And they end this whole section with a really powerful statement.
Oh, yeah.
They say, building the 10% is not a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It is serious work.
Yeah.
With major social, political, and economic implications.
They're not messing around.
No, they're not. So they're not just talking about like a financial strategy here.
No.
They're talking about like a fundamental shift.
A paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In how we view our society.
Oh, absolutely.
Our economy.
Mm.
Our role as individuals.
It's a movement.
It is a movement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like reawaken to these principles.
That's a bold vision.
It is.
But what does it mean for like our listeners?
That's a great question.
Yeah. How can they connect with this on a personal level?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is they really encourage people to just explore IBC further.
Okay.
Learn more about it.
Okay.
And they mentioned the Nelson Nash Institute.
Okay.
As a great resource for that.
And we'll be sure to include a link to that in the show notes.
Perfect.
For anybody who wants to go check it out.
Yeah.
But beyond just like the financial aspects,
mm-hmm.
what's kind of the broader takeaway here?
You know, I think it's about recognizing that we all have a role to play.
Okay.
In shaping the future of our society.
Yeah.
And it starts with ourselves.
Okay.
Taking control of our own lives,
yeah.
our own finances,
yeah.
making choices that align with our values.
Right. Like putting your money where your mouth is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And understanding that even our small actions,
yeah.
when multiplied by millions of other people,
yeah.
can create real change.
So it's about reclaiming that power as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And using it to actually build a better world.
Yeah, starting in our own communities.
Exactly.
That's the think and act locally message.
You think and act locally.
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
And speaking of thinking and acting locally.
Yes.
For our listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
If these ideas resonate with you, if you're feeling inspired.
Yes.
We would love for you to support the show.
Absolutely.
You can find a link to donate on our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
Easy to remember.
Yes.
And we'll put that link in the show notes as well.
So check it out if you want to support us and keep this thing going.
We appreciate all the support.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
But let's get back to our deep dive into building the 10%.
Right.
We talked about the vision, the strategy,
yeah.
the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
What about the potential impact?
Right.
What does the future look like if this actually works?
Okay. Well, they talk about a future where individuals are much more self-reliant.
Okay.
Less dependent on government.
Okay. So less reliant on things like handouts and programs.
Exactly. And they really see a resurgence of entrepreneurship
okay.
and innovation.
Because people are empowered.
Yes. They are taking control of their own destinies.
So it's not just about personal wealth then.
No.
It's about a shift in the entire economic landscape.
It is. They argue that as more and more individuals embrace these principles.
Okay.
You know, free markets,
yeah.
sound financial management. It'll create this ripple effect.
Interesting.
Across the entire economy.
Okay, so greater prosperity for everybody.
That's the idea.
That's a pretty optimistic outlook.
It is.
Are they being naive, though?
Well,
do they really think they can change, like, the entire system?
I mean, they acknowledge that it's a huge task.
Right.
But they believe it's possible.
Okay.
If enough people buy into this vision.
Okay.
And they point to history. As evidence that small groups can spark change.
Right. It's like that Margaret Mead quote.
Oh, yeah.
Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
Powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
But how do they keep the momentum going?
That's where education comes in.
Okay.
And mentorship.
Okay.
They say it's not enough to just convert people.
Okay.
You have to give them the tools
right.
to teach the next generation.
So it's got to go beyond that initial 10%.
It has to, or it all falls apart.
Right. Okay. So it's a multi-generational project.
It is.
Long-term commitment.
Yeah, to building a society that values these things.
It sounds like they're not just trying to change the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to change the players.
Change the players, yes.
Create a whole new generation of thinkers.
That's a great way to put it.
So where does government fit into all this?
That's a good question because they're pretty critical
right.
of government intervention.
Yeah.
They're not advocating for no government.
Right, yeah.
They still believe in limited government to protect individual rights.
Okay.
But they think individuals should be the ones
okay.
making decisions about their lives and finances.
It's about finding that balance.
Yes, that balance between freedom and responsibility.
Interesting perspective.
It is.
It really gets you thinking
about
all these different things.
Yeah, how it all fits together.
So what's the call to action for our listeners?
If this sounds interesting to you,
yeah.
the first step is to learn more about these ideas.
Okay.
Look into IBC.
Yeah.
Read some free market economics.
Think critically about the systems.
The systems we live in, yeah.
Yeah.
And then talk about it.
Okay.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. Your family.
Have those conversations.
Those are the seeds of change.
Exactly.
And then if you're really feeling inspired,
yeah.
think locally.
Yes.
Act locally.
Think and act locally.
Get involved in your community.
Support local businesses.
Exactly.
Advocate for policies.
Yes. Make your voice heard.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
And speaking of think and act locally.
Yes.
Big thank you to all of our listeners.
We appreciate you.
For joining us on this deep dive.
Absolutely.
We hope you found it as thought-provoking as we did.
We always do.
We always do.
Yeah.
And if you're enjoying the show, if you're finding value in these conversations,
please consider supporting our work.
You can find a link to donate on our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
That link is also in the show notes.
Yeah, check it out.
Every little bit helps.
It really does help us keep this thing going.
We appreciate it.
And as always, thank you for listening.
And remember,
the future is in our hands.
Let's build it together.